Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday,
1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're listening to the Ooze with your host, Avenger Satanus, and the Beats.
Hey everyone, this is Avenger Satanus, Cult of Cthulhu High Priest. Hopefully everyone knows that by now. And instead of First Priest of Relay, he's Zeno joining us and co-hosting with me. He's doing some business meetings and things this week. So we have another priest of Valet, actually the only other one we have in the cult, Ego Diabolus, and he's going to be helping me manage this freeform sphere of chaos, which is the show. It's just open format, talk about whatever. Hopefully people will call in. I don't have the call-in number in front of me, actually, because I'm on a different page. But I don't know. If you're on the show, you should know. So anyway, how are you doing, Ego Diabolus?
Well, I'm doing good. I've had kind of a weird week. This week's been kind of a series of things that kind of went against me, but then somehow worked in my favor. And if normally it had just been one time, I probably wouldn't have maybe noticed, but it's been consistently, like on a daily basis. Something would happen that my initial reaction is, this doesn't work, what am I going to do? And then find out that, oh, everything's good, this works in my favor. So
personal as well as like business related and creatively as well, or?
My girlfriend was playing tennis this week and had an injured her knee. And so we had to, there was a big to-do. She had to go to the emergency room. But what the result of that was, the very next day, we blew off everything. And we've been talking about months now that we needed to just have a day where we were just together and hanging out. And it kind of sucked that she was, hobbling around the house. But we had our day of hanging out together. Tomorrow night, we have all of our kids together when we weren't expecting, it wasn't scheduled. And I have, of course, tattoos scheduled. But one of the tattoos that I would have had last night or tomorrow night has canceled on me. So it's been that kind of thing. And it's just kind of, I don't know if I should make anything of it or not. It's just kind of interesting that, regardless, everything's coming up Ego Diabolus. That's kind of nice.
That is nice. I do definitely believe in, fortuitous circumstances and happy coincidences and synchronicity and sort of conscious, will-based, magical kind of vibe that people, individuals send out into the universe and get things back. But I also believe that people have to make the best of it, of whatever circumstances they have at the time. So I think that's important too. Basically, just look on the bright side, and even if something sucks or isn't going the way you want, usually, to use another cliche, every cloud is a silver lining. So, you look for the good in it, and being able to see that is half the battle to writing out those rough patches and those times when, everything sucks or you're suffering more than you're indulging in life.
Well, I think the work it just made me think about, you know, the process of the work and what's been going on, and basically it's given me more adaptability. That, you know, had my life or had my circumstances been more crystallized instead of more freeform like they have been, I might have not had the flexibility to kind of roll with the punches and enjoy the good side of the bad things that were happening. So. But yeah, absolutely. That I believe, you know, there's got to be some synchronicity. There's got to be something to, you know, willing things to happen. And lately, I guess I haven't been willing things to happen in a negative way. I haven't been worrying about the negative possibilities and just expecting the positive. And that sounds kind of cheesy, but it seems to be working.
Well, not. Yeah, that's good. I totally understand. A lot of the stuff we talk about, you know, seems to come from such, like, older sources that sometimes it seems like, you know, we're borrowing from this philosophy or that paradigm, or, you know, we're talking in cliches and stuff. But that's because a lot of the stuff is true, and you know, if people can relate to it in terms that they've heard before, then I think that gives it more of a chance for it to soak in and people to really understand what we're talking about, because, you know, I think people instinctively know what's right and what's wrong and what people should be doing, but there's so much other crap out there, or certain eyes in themselves, you know, want to work against that, or want to take control and, you know, do something stupid, or work the universe's will, or something like that.
Sure, and the greatest truths tend to be the simplest truths. So we're attracted to, we're drawn in by complexity. And simple explanations, simple responses, you know, we're bored with that if we understand it and grasp it too quickly. So
yeah.
We tend to lose that the appreciation for simplicity.
Yeah.
But,
I think you can you can bolster simplicity with certain stimulation and dramatic effect. That's something I see in some of the greats. I don't know if you call them philosophers, but, you know, the great gurus of our time and in the 20th century. Like if you look at like LaVey and Gurdjieff and even Aleister Crowley and people like that. You know, a lot of times they can boil a complex idea into its simplest forms, but also they give it a certain amount of punch or gravitas that makes it more meaningful or has a greater impact on people hearing it or reading it.
Certainly. Absolutely. So what's been going on with you?
Well, for me, it's another week, another girl weirded out by the cult. that's dating and looking for a new relationship has been one of the predominant factors in the last 8 months of my life. So I've been dating a lot. You know, I've been dating all different types, girls involved in, you know, more of a weird, kinky, like BDSM kind of scene. You know, more normal, good girls, meeting girls out, just out and about at a bookstore or a bar or something, meeting girls online, like Match.com or Plenty of Fish, something like that. Girls with more of an edge to them that are more into, you know, dark, horror, spooky things. I don't know, I've been all over the map because, you know, I don't exactly know precisely where I'm looking for. I just know that, you know, I'll know it when I find it. So, but a lot of times in my struggle, because I started out the cult and my whole, you know, belief system and paradigm shift and all that good stuff, without my pseudonym, you know, without Venture Satanus, I just used my regular name, Derek Kishaw. And as anyone that's familiar with the internet knows, that, you know, stuff sticks on the internet, and and it's easy to find out what people are doing. So a lot of times, after I've been on a few dates, girls will Google me, will Google Derek Dishaw, and they'll, you know, find out about the Cthulhu cult, about, you know, the books I've written, you know, the website, the whole, what other people are saying about me, like Dan Harms or other people, the whole enchilada. So, and sometimes girls are very cool with it. They're like, oh, okay, I get it, I understand, after I explain things to them for a while. But sometimes girls are just so weirded out that, because this is such a predominantly Christian culture, that anything that is too out of the ordinary and too weird and too against mainstream Christianity is just looked upon with fear and loathing sometimes.
I'm surprised that, well, I can appreciate, and it's honorable that you don't use your position and as a draw for women. But I'm kind of surprised that you're not approached as the high priest of the cult of Cthulhu by women with you know, romantic interests. Because I can see that. But the other thing I'm thinking about is you're in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It definitely makes it tougher. If I was living in California or New York or something like that, it would probably be like, you know, every man for himself, all hands on deck, you know, Avenger, you know, dating explosion. But yeah, as it is, even though Wisconsin is, you know, a very cool, you know, it's got a lot of things going for it. It's fairly centralized, you know, within the United States, and it does have some Lovecraftian connections. Of course, August Derleth was from Wisconsin, and Arkham House Publishing was based in Wisconsin and still stands in Sauk City, and other writers too have either come from Wisconsin or whatever. It's got an interesting history and. Also, there's a few, like, serial killers and stuff like that from Wisconsin, like Jeffrey Dahmer and Ed Gein, and there's one or two others. But, yeah, Wisconsin, it's a little more remote than I'd like, unfortunately. My career is in real estate. The real estate doesn't move, so I'm pretty much nestled here for a good long while. I do get approached by girls that live, you know, wherever, in different states. But, yeah, that doesn't really help me. Plus, I am very particular. You know, I'm very choosy about what I want. You've seen that video. You know, I've listed off, like, 20 different things that aren't like, I have to have this. But this is what I like. This is would be nice. This is kind of what I'm looking for. You know, if you more or less fit the bill, but, like, 85-90% of what I'm talking about on the list, then that would be great. So, well, I do, yeah. So, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's not, don't pity me or anything like that, because, you know, I get a lot of action. I get a lot of play. I'm just looking for the real deal now. So I'm just going to wait until I find it. And the girl with last night, we finally consummated our sexual liaison or whatever. We had sex, and it was great. But then afterwards, we kind of had a talk, and she didn't want to have. She was pretty adamant that she didn't want to have or think about children, like at least for a couple of years, you know, maybe ever. Which kind of surprised me, because that's not normal, I guess. That's not the usual. And that's something that I'm looking for. That's one of the three main reasons that I ended things with my last girlfriend, is because she already had a kid, and she was older than me. She already had her tubes tied after, you know, she had her kid from her ex-husband. And she just wasn't that interested. And, you know, by that time, now she's like 42. So, I don't know. I wasn't really ready in an earlier part of a relationship, and now I kind of am, and I don't know. She wasn't really into it, so I just thought, well, that's just another reason for me to bail. So, yeah, procreating, that's definitely something that's on my mind and something I want to look into in the next year or two, you know. So, right on. But she also Googled me and did some more research, I guess, this morning and found some stuff, and I kind of weirded her out, so we texted back and forth. Like, you know, I tried to set her mind at ease that I'm not some dangerous, you know, the normal cult leader that you would see on the news, you know, killing people and stockpiling weapons and, you know, sacrificing cats and stuff like that. So, I don't know. We're going to talk later tonight. We're going to see what's up. But if she's not into having kids, then that might be the nail in the coffin anyway. So,
yeah. Well, that's kind of especially at the beginning of a relationship, that's kind of a hard thing to even begin to fathom to commit to, you know.
And, it is.
But if you think, you know, right now she doesn't want to have children, maybe down the road, especially if she knows that it's something you're seriously considering, that you're looking for a family, that you're looking for something steady. And
right.
You're right. There are a lot of women who would definitely see that as a plus, that
right.
They would, you know, they would appreciate the idea that you're looking for something stable.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of women they have their own biological clock, and you know, this woman she's 35, which is my age. So, you know, it's not like you wait for either of us. You wait like 2 or 3 years, and then you start thinking about it. Because, you know, by then we're both almost going to be 40. And,
right,
you know, then you might have one, you know, maybe none by then. And if something happens to that relationship, you know, when you're damn near 40, then it's just even more tough, I think. I think the older you get, definitely the tougher it is to meet someone and, you know, I guess, start a serious relationship and you know, and then talk about having kids and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of late in the day. I already feel like right now that a lot of opportunities have passed me by because, you know, when I was in my late 20s, it was, you know, I definitely had more success with women and I could date, you know, girls that were 18, and I could date girls that were 40. And now that I'm 35, the age gap is kind of, now it's just girls in their late 20s, girls in their 30s. You know, now that I want something serious, I don't want to really date a woman that's in her 40s because, I don't know, I don't see myself in 10 years, you know, dating a 50-year-old woman. So,
sure. Yeah, it's kind of a weird time.
Yeah.
Especially for a man, because you're not only faced with the woman's biological clock as far as reproduction is concerned, but well, first of all, they're just hitting their sexual apex. But they're also, you know, it is an apex. So it's a short period of, you know, truly, you know, truly experiencing themselves as a sexual being. And then, their body, if it already hasn't started declining, begins to decline. I think there was a study about how women are socially invisible after 35 on average, that, the looks, you know, they used to turn heads when they walked into a room. And now they're generally ignored. Whereas men, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are plenty of men out there who have been socially invisible all their lives, but men still have
right.
That, you know, that the potential they've had since they were, you know, in their early 20s to
I mean, sometimes, you know, to the right woman, a man in his 30s is more attractive than a man in his, say, early 20s when physically, with the hormones and body type, on average, I think, you know, the 25-year-old man is going to, you know,
be in better physical shape than a man who's 35. But on the other hand, you know, there's a lot of other things that are attractive to women besides the physicality and things like that. There's you know, his job and his position and power and you know, assets and maturity,
just life experience.
Yeah, life experience in general. Yeah, things like that. Exactly. Lifestyle, you know.
Sure.
Instead of living in a one-bedroom apartment, you know, by 35, there's, you know, maybe he's still living in an apartment, but they're nicer digs. He's got more going for him, usually. But
right.
Still,
right.
You know, I still, you know, there's still girls that are like 23, 24 that maybe I'll email on some online thing, and they're like, well, you know, you're 35. That's kind of above my range of kind of looking for a guy between like 25 and 30 and stuff like that. So, you know, so pickings are a little bit slimmer there, but still, I think a man in his 30s has a lot of choice. It can go either way. But also, not only am I really picky, but I've got the whole Cult of Cthulhu thing that, you know, for some women, yeah, it could be a draw, but for most, it's a wee bit detrimental to the dating life. You know, most girls don't want to get involved with some notorious cult leader, even if it's not, you know, the normal cult leader like David Koresh or something like that.
Sure. Well, it's doubly so for you because, I mean, not only are you dealing with, you know, the incorrect stigma of even as a religious leader, you know, let's just take the Cult of Cthulhu, just you're a religious leader of a non-mainstream religion, but then there's the commitment that you have to what it is you're doing, that you're fully invested in this other thing. And that women, especially at the beginning of a relationship, want your investment. They want the thing that you do to be done pretty much on automatic, on autopilot, and that you are fully invested in them.
Yeah.
And that would be a difficult thing for you. That would be a difficult thing for you to accomplish. And it would take a mature-minded woman, especially at, you know, even mid-20s or late-20s, that would still be elite for them to go ahead and accept that, you know, this is your thing, and they can be an important part of your life, but they might not be the primary part of your life for some time.
Right. I definitely try to have a balanced life, and I think that's the key to the longevity of my interests, my pursuits, is that, you know, I do stuff for the cult, and I think about things that are cult-related pretty much every day, but I don't, you know, spaz out or like about things or you know, I don't pull all-nighters like several nights of the week, you know, doing things, you know, for like 6 hours at a time. You know, maybe I'll work like an hour a day on stuff that's cult-related, and then, you know, I'll leave other time for just myself or, you know, the real estate or, you know, just having fun, you know, watching horror movies and kicking back and playing poker and stuff like that. And I think that's one of the keys to keeping at something is, you know, don't go all out and get burned out on stuff. I know I've talked to BCino about that there's a phenomenon where people will approach me or they'll approach the cult and they're so gung-ho and fired up and like, oh my God, this is the best thing since sliced bread. Like, I'm going to completely devote myself to the cult, like, now and forever. Mm-hmm. And then you can pretty much guarantee that 6 weeks later, they've either completely disappeared or their interest and motivation is severely waning. And it's just like, you know, it's too much too soon. You burnt yourself out. You know, you probably had these unrealistic expectations that as soon as you aligned yourself with us, your whole world was going to instantly change and, you know, boom, you'd become like Mr. Invincible or something. I don't know. I don't know what people think a lot. But
But yeah, as you know, if you really want to accomplish something in life, you do a little bit all the time, you know, every day or every other day. You stay at it, you stick with it, and you don't kill yourself, you know, day to day and week to week, but you're consistent. You do a little bit all the time. And then a year or two later, you know, shit builds up and you've really accomplished something then. A lot of people just don't see that, but it's true for so many things in life. And the stuff that we do, that's part of it.
I was actually having a conversation this week about the work and about, you know, I was asked, and I started writing about this, so you'll read about this in the forum as well. I was asked, you know, pretty much, first of all, what have I experienced as part of my, you know, interaction with the Call of Cthulhu, and what am I, you know, what have I gained as I've started the work, and what do I expect to be the end result? And what you're talking about is exactly what I think a lot of people miss, is that it is a gradual process, and that if you're at it for a week, you may have some things change, but the change will be so slight that you probably wouldn't notice. And it would probably be very fleeting if you were to give it up. But after a year of work, you might find yourself in a position where you still don't notice any change, or if you do notice the changes, you see them as very slight. But when you compare it to where you were at a year ago, then it becomes obviously more significant. But we look at things on let's say a week-to-week basis, you know, where we go, okay, I'm not any different today than I was yesterday. You know, and I've, you know, took the time. The question just kind of made me take a real assessment of where, you know, where I'm at personally, and what I expect to come from continuous effort in this particular direction. So I do, you know, reading the forums and everything else, and dealing with people one-on-one who, you know, are totally, oh, that sounds so cool, and they want to be involved, they want to get in deep, and then, okay, well, here, this is how it works. You're going to have to work at this gradually for, you know, constantly and consistently, and nothing's fast, nothing's a quick fix, and good luck with that. And
right.
They grow bored and get out of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully people, you know, will have the patience, and they can see the results in, you know, I think people can look at our lives and see that, oh, yeah, these guys have kind of made something of themselves, and it wasn't just blind luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've acquired some sort of skill set which allows them to get further in life than they otherwise would have, and that is part and parcel of, you know, our whole philosophy. And that's why college is, you know, 4 years at least. You know, you can't graduate from college in, like, a handful of weekends. It doesn't work that way because, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort. And like you said, like, things build slowly. Like, you know, like, let's say you want to get up to, I'll just do it by numbers if that makes it easier for people to understand what I'm talking about. Like, let's say you're at 3 and you want to get up to 100. Well, if you want to get up to 10, obviously, you're going to have to go up to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 first in order to even get 10. But let's say 10 is when you start noticing things, when changes are becoming visible. But, you know, you can't skip 4 and 5 after 3, just like you can't skip 7, 8, 9 just to get to 10. But if you're only at 4 or 5 from 3 originally, you're not going to notice that. You're not going to notice. But things build on each other. You know, if you do one thing in the work, like, let's say, not identifying with certain things in your life, then, you know, maybe after a couple months, you know, not expressing negative emotions, we'll be able to build on that. And then after that, you know, you'll be remembering yourself more because you'll see the importance of not identifying and not expressing negative emotions. And then once you start self-remembering, then those things become easier, and then, you know, then you're on the path. And then you just keep at it, and one thing builds on another, and before you know it, you are a different person, and you start seeing better results. Same thing with working out. Same thing with you know, your job, school, playing poker, you know, whatever it is, artwork, you know, really anything you want to improve in, being a musician, you know, you got to learn the basics, and then you got to hone your skills, and, you know, one thing leads to another eventually.
And, of course, if somebody could take a, using your analogy, a 3 and make them suddenly 100, well, they missed the experience to get them there. So they, when they're at 100, how do they even have – they only have that frame of reference to understand what it is to be at that point. And then it's fleeting. It would be something that – well, if somebody could just drop you there, well, then somebody could just take it away. Whereas
right.
going through the steps, taking the time, well, then you own it. And when you finally
yeah.
get there, it's yours completely.
Right.
You
can have a glimpse of the top of the mountain, or like let's say 100, but you can't fully become that without getting to 100. You know, through the normal means, going one after another, slowly working your way up to the top. You know, you can have momentary understanding, or you can grasp little bits of knowledge. But that doesn't mean you have the being in order to fully grasp it and internalize it and, you know, make things crystallize in yourself and then, like, become it and own it, as you say.
Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of this, it got me thinking when I was thinking about what it was that I was going to talk about today, and I really didn't have any real plan, but I thought this was an excellent opportunity to really kind of pick your brain about the Cult of Cthulhu, especially since there have been so many changes, so many advancements, especially in the last several months. You know, the site has been revamped. We gained the official recognition. Several months ago. The advancement of myself, the advancement of the Zeno, the changes in the forum about structure and things of that nature, and it's just the overall, you know, more people are becoming involved. So these are a lot of lofty goals, in my opinion, that have come to fruition. And just kind of wondering, what do you see as next? Where do you think the Cult of Cthulhu is going from here?
Okay, that is a good question. Well, each one of those, I think I could address, and basically I could give you like a broad, vague answer of, you know, I want to get just a little bit farther in each one of those things. But specifically, with the Cthulhu cults, Cult of Cthulhu, Inc., being recognized as like a tax-exempt charitable organization and such. I'd like to, hopefully we'll get some charitable donations, which people can write off on their taxes sometime this year. And that'll go to, you know, the cult and expanding things. I don't expect to see it in 2010, but maybe in 2011 or 2012, I definitely want to see some sort of cult temple, either built or possessed or owned or managed by some of us, somewhere in the United States. I think the three of us, you, me, and Bistino, if we can build up offline grottos and sort of triangulate our position in the United States, either in Wisconsin, Florida, and Texas, I think that would be very cool and helpful. Add more content to the website. I'm also working on book 3 of the cult's Bible. So by the end of 2010, I want to have that done and self-published, just like Cthulhu Cult and Libra AO. Get more people on the forum. You know, I'm always trying to pimp that shit and get people on here and discussing things. You know, that's important because, you know, if you don't have anyone talking back to you, then it's just kind of like you're discussing things with the wall. That's not very productive. I think it can help a lot of people, you know, when people participate and ask questions and debate things and just, you know, let people know, like, what's going on. I mean, there's several things every single month that are happening in the world of the occult or the left-hand path, or even having to do with the Cthulhu mythos. And I usually get wind of it somehow through the forums that I check out or people send me stuff. And I put it right on the forum, you know. Just yesterday, there was some new scientific news item about, like, dark matter and dark flow and something tugging on the universe from outside, you know, the known universe. And that seemed particularly Lovecraftian and cool, and so I put that little tidbit on the forum, and, you know, there was a Lovecraftian Alice in Wonderland poem that someone had written and put on the site, and so I, you know, I posted a link to that because that was cool and that was worth seeing. So, yeah, I definitely want to get more people on the forum and participating in discussions and things like that. That and have you and Bizino, you know, do your own thing and expand your own stuff inside the Cthulhu cult. That's probably it.
Cool. And yeah, I think and definitely growth in the directions that we're already growing in is probably definitely the way to go. I would love to see, even if it's a matter of, you know, doing it the way the kind of Christian revival organizations do it. You know, you get a group together, they're meeting someplace publicly or meeting at somebody's house, and they get the money together to actually start renting a, you know, maybe it's an office at some tract or someplace, you know, somewhere, building up to the eventual, you know, now we own property, now there's a building involved, and that would be a big deal, I think.
Yeah.
But even if it's not, you know, more people involved, the people we have involved in a more regular basis and in a more substantial manner.
Yeah.
So totally, and waiting for that third book. So that would be awesome. The other thing I was thinking about. The other thing I was thinking about was, just in your opinion, what are five things that you can think of? And I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. That every member of the Cult of Cthulhu, who's, you know, who's serious about their membership, five things they could do today that they should be doing, or five things that they could do today that you think would benefit them and the Cult of Cthulhu.
Okay, that is a great question. First, I think set some time aside or realize the necessity of setting some time aside maybe each day to do certain things. It depends on your current lifestyle, and it depends on what you want, you know, your goals. Like, let's say you just want to, you know, all around be a better person, more successful, more effective. Maybe set, you know, a couple hours each day, and then some of that time, you know, do something to get in better shape, you know, do something physically, you know, jog or you know, go to the gym, or just, you know, do some aerobics or something like that. I don't know. And then maybe some other time, you know, spend reading, you know, researching things online or reading Lovecraft or reading, you know, whatever. If you haven't already, the Satanic Bible or, you know, things that interest you, you know, if something interested you in the Temple of Set, or, you know, or Chaos Magic, or Aleister Crowley, or something, then, you know, read about that, research it, and you know, learn, stimulate your intellectual center. Otherwise, you know, for the emotional center, which is the other one of the big three, talk to people and get involved in discussions. You know, try to meditate and, you know, magic, you know, do something magical, something to focus your will, you know, a little bit every day. So that's something, I guess, to just set some time aside to, you know, to work on yourself a little bit each day, you know, things like that. Getting more into the fourth way and the work and stuff like that, I guess, remembering yourself, that's, you know, pretty key. That's kind of like day one stuff that you can get involved in and do daily. And really, you can be anywhere. You can be in the dentist chair and, you know, you can try to remember yourself like, you know, I am, you know, blank. I'm here right now. You know, I want to be present in this moment, be mindful of it and stuff like that. So self-remembering, I guess that would be number two. What else? Well, the first one obviously is multiple dimensions to that.
Sure.
I've already incorporated, like, you know, doing something physical, you know, do some constructive reading, you know, do something interacting with people and magic. So really, I guess that's three things. And then the fourth, I guess, would be self-remembering. And then the fifth thing would be just do something that you really like to do. You know, indulge a little bit. You know, have fun and make yourself happy. You know, if you really love horror movies like I do, then rent or buy or you know, watch a free horror movie somewhere. You know, if you don't have the funds, get it from the library or something. Or if you like playing poker, then play poker. You know, obviously I'm using my own examples of the things that I would like. But if you like soccer or something, I don't know, go play soccer. Or if you like, you know, doing artwork, then this should be a no-brainer. You know, do some artwork. You know, make yourself happy because, you know, this is your life. It's the only one you're going to get. So, you know, I think there's a line in the Depeche Mode song that you have to make this life livable. And life shouldn't all be only about work and struggle and suffering and, you know, doing what you have to do and bettering yourself and self-improvement. Obviously, that's pretty huge, and you should be thinking about stuff like that probably every single day, at least a little bit. But also, you should just have fun and do what's pleasurable to you and indulge yourself and make this life livable, you know. Have some fun and cut loose, you know. Have a piece of dessert if you really want it. You know, it's not going to kill you. Don't go crazy and, you know, just live in the basement of your parents' house for like 10 years and drink Mountain Dew and eat Triscuits and Cheese Whiz like every single meal or McDonald's. Don't do anything crazy like that just because it feels good. But there's nothing wrong with pampering yourself a little bit every day, even if it's just one little thing, doing something that you find pleasurable or enjoyable, you know, do that. That's going to sustain you. That's going to keep you going and get your motivation high. Make you want to get up every day because you got some little treat or some really little reward that's going to go for yourself, like every single day. So I guess that's it. I don't know if that's...
No, that's great. That's what I think is enduring about this organization and about the philosophy. It's simple things. Nobody's asking anybody to do anything complex. Nobody's asking you to do anything they don't understand. And, you know, the people who are looking for something complex, something overbearing, they're not going to find it here.
Right.
But the people who understand that it's these simple things that really lead to self-fulfillment, that really lead to taking pleasure in one's own life and one's own being, that benefit and end up being long-term members of an organization like this. I totally didn't expect you to come up with anything wild or anything like that, but I thought it would be interesting for people to hear, because there are people who aren't even doing this much. There are people who, their participation in their own lives, and it consists of, keeping up with their television shows, what's going on with some celebrity, doing whatever, menial job they have, and, hating it. And they wonder why they're just stuck there. Well, you're just stuck there because you haven't motivated yourself to move forward. And these simple things begin the process, get you motivated to live.
Right. Also, I think it's important to note that there are people making things a lot harder for themselves than it needs to be. Like, there are people that are out there, trying to memorize long passages of the Simon Necronomicon, or, obtain newt eyes, or stand on their head for like 3 hours a day. You don't have to do grand sweeping, gestures, and you don't have to put yourself through suffering. You don't have to work out 3 hours a day. If you just work out like a half hour a day, that's awesome. That's even better. Don't kill yourself. Don't try to win the Masochist of the Year award by doing things you don't have to do. I mean, do little things every day. That's better than... It is better to do 30 minutes of something productive every day than do 3 hours a day for like 2 weeks and then just quit. Because, don't kill yourself. Just do a little bit, whatever you can, every day or every other day. Yeah. Some people just make things too hard on themselves. And it's, it's disappointing to see because, it doesn't have to be a difficult struggle all the time. It can be quite manageable if people just do a little bit at a time. What they can manage. Are you still there, man? Oh, hang on.
Can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, I hear you now.
Yeah, hey, I lost the signal for some reason, and then pop right back in.
Okay, yeah, no problem. I noticed that. Yeah, okay, we're good.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, but what you were saying, I agree totally that, there are too many people, and again, it's the draw of complexity. It's the simple solution, it just can't be possibly right because it's just too damn simple,
right.
And the people, they need something complex, and by virtue of it being complex, if they fail at it, well, they can tell themselves, well, it was just too hard,
Yeah.
Whereas if you go, the simple answer is, it's like, why am I overweight? Well, is it because you eat crap and eat too much? And if you just cut down on what you eat, oh, that can't be it. That's too simple.
Right.
I want to say it was a Mad TV or Saturday Night Live skit where it was just this, they were pushing this diet plan, eat less, move more. And the people were going, well, isn't there a pill I can take? Isn't there?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, just eat less and move more. And there's so much that it's exactly that. It's, a little bit more effort and a little bit less sloth, maybe.
Right. An effort in the right way, which is so simple to see and direct yourself if you know what it is and you just give it a chance. I totally agree that, people, sometimes it's so simple that people don't want to do it, or they want to make it harder on themselves. They want to, meditate on weight loss like 2 hours a day and take like 50 pills and, give someone $1,000 to pray for them or something like that. When really, eat less and exercise more and like make better choices and what you actually put in your mouth and ingest. And really, that's it. That's like 90% of it. Yeah, that's funny that people don't... oops, I lost him again. Oh, well, we'll call back. But, yeah, if you guys want to call in, we'd love to hear from someone, goddammit. The call-in number is 347-989-1371. So hopefully someone's going to call in here. Hey.
Hey.
You're back.
This is weird. Let me try standing up and moving away from my, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, sometimes there are certain zones that they just drop a signal every once in a while. I don't know what it is. But.
Yeah.
That's cool. We only have about 10 minutes of the show left anyway. So if there's anything else you want to get to or talk about, now would probably be the time.
I really got some good stuff going on. Got the tattoo thing going, and I had posted. I know this is kind of, you know, people are like, you know, what does this have to do with me? I'm in Florida. I'm in Wisconsin. He's in Texas. This isn't going to do me any good. But I'm trying to. I want to do some H.R. Geiger tattoo artwork. So
cool.
I want to do some. I'm going to do some advertising, and I'll probably, you know, do some big deal in May to do that. Just getting ready to put out the next edition of the Green Trapezoid.
Yeah.
I'm working on archiving the first issue so that it's accessible from the main page, and we'll maintain that record. A lot of good submissions, so it's going to be an interesting issue, and I encourage people to submit just continue submitting, even though I put this, you know, the 15th of the month prior deadline. That's just so that I have time to organize it. I definitely can use the material for future issues, and we want to go to an every other month format. So we're going to do this issue for April, and then there'll be one in June, and so on and so forth.
I think that's awesome. I think that a format like that, it motivates people to get off their ass and create something or write something or do something. I mean, I know for me personally, if there's a deadline, something to be done, you know, I've got to create this thing with a certain date, publication, then I'll do it because there's something out there that, I don't know, it's just a motivating factor. So I think that's great because, the format itself, it's able to write things and do artwork and, you know, short pictures for your essays. Did we lose you, or are you still there?
I'm still here, but it's fading in and out, so I'm dancing around my studio here, going, you know.
Yeah, I hear the crackling. I don't know if that's... I think it moved, too. Maybe it's where I am.
Oh,
man.
We only have 3 minutes left.
Yeah, we only have 3 minutes left anyway, so...
So... but no, I would love to go... If you hear me, I'd love to go to a monthly format. It's just the thing with the monthly format is that we have to have a constant stream of submissions, and part of that is going to be, you know, if folks can tell people about the Green Trapezoid, just like they're doing with the Cult of Cthulhu and anything else, get more people looking at it, get more people submitting to it, even, you know, if they're not members of the Cult of Cthulhu, that would be very helpful.
Well, definitely next week I'm going to try to do it myself, or I'm going to have Ariok, the guy that designed the website, to put up like a link where all the other – there's a link to the ooze, there's a link to the forum, there's a link to
page or something to my YouTube videos, that channel. I also want to direct a link to the Green Trapezoid. So that's going to be happen probably sometime this coming next week. So that should drive a little more traffic, especially when the second issue comes out. So that should be cool. Yeah, a monthly schedule would be awesome. I think that's kind of premature now, as you mentioned. But eventually, that would be cool. I think just every other month is a good timetable at the moment. Oops, I think we lost him again. Well, no one else called in, which is a little bit of a shame. But, oh well, we soldier on here at The Ooze, which is our left-hand path talk radio show. Your left-hand path talk radio show. And, oh, hang on, here he comes. Hey, there you go.
I powered my cell phone down, powered it back up. Hopefully that fixes the issue.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
only got a few minutes left anyways, but,
yeah.
Wanted to
well, hey,
back
it was
in.
Already a good show. So, yeah, I'm already pleased. But yeah, we have a couple more minutes to talk about whatever. Anything else going on in the world of Ego Diabolus you want to touch on?
I've been working on this flash art set for months now, as I'm sure Beast will attest to, because I keep mentioning it on my website, you know, the Creative Oddity Studios website. Mm-hmm. And I'm finally reaching the end, finally getting the designs together, getting satisfied with the designs that I want in this next set. So that's a big deal, and it's going to free me up to do some other stuff, hopefully. I want to start playing around with more digital stuff since Beast is going in a more traditional art direction. I figured I'll venture into his genre since he's venturing into mine, and cool. Check things out, mix things up. But yeah, everything's solid, everything's going good, and
good.
Enjoying these little hosting duties every so often.
Yeah, I think it's great to have new blood, and especially you in particular, because I think we have a great show usually when you're on, because. I don't know, good chemistry, and you definitely know what you're talking about, and you can speak well, and that helps. That's good stuff. I wanted to mention that I've already sent interview questions to Zandora LaVey. Sometimes I think she calls herself Zandora LaVey Partridge. What does she do? She is a burlesque hula hoop dancer at some bar or strip club or something, I think in Vegas. But she bounces around. I think she even said she was going to be in Racine, Wisconsin sometime this coming week. I feel bad. I don't even know how far away Racine is from Madison and Temperley. I think it's like a couple hours, but I don't even know because... You know, the only places I travel in Wisconsin, besides my very area, is Milwaukee, which is like 90 minutes away. And anyway, but that should be cool. She should give me her responses back soon, sometime this week, and then I'll put them on the website too. So that should be cool because she's kind of the big following, you know, because she's
right. Cool.
Semi-naked a lot.
Yeah, burlesque is definitely making a comeback. So folks, if they hear about a burlesque show in their area, it's coming back all over the country, and the girls are pretty much independent. They need folks' support. They come out and whatever you're paying for tickets, they split whatever piece of that they get, and that's it. So it's a sexy and fun show, not an erotic strip club kind of show. But definitely, definitely some artists out there doing what they do.
Cool. Okay, I guess that's it for us. Thanks, Ego Diabolus, Priest of Relay, and we'll see everybody next week.
Cool. Catch you later.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect those held by Venture or Beast or any institution associated with us. The Ooze does not condone any illegal or unethical acts. If you have been offended during the production of the show, we're sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Thank you, and see you next week.